Hello and welcome to another edition of the Armchair Directors. For each episode, we take a look at one of cinema's great directors and their essential films. This week on the show, we are looking at the 2007 South Korean film Going by the Book, directed by Hee Chan-rah. Returning on the show today to talk about Going by the Book is Professor Marie Westaver. Professor Westaver, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
So, this is I laughed a lot at this movie. I thought this movie was great. And I think what's really great about the film is just the way they just time every joke. And I think there's one thing I laugh about. It's just the perfect timing. It's like got the setup. Like, for an example, it's like one of the first things we see when they're doing the staged robbery. And he's got the gun. He's the robber. And then the one guy's like, you know, where did you go to school? The cop. And then he pulls out the gun, shoots him in the head. And then for a while, you're shocked. Like, oh, my God, he actually did that? But then it cuts back, and it's real life. He goes, bang, 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 you're dead. And it just cracked up at that. There's just a whole bunch of that in the movie where you're like, what is it? What is he doing? And then it shows up what it's supposed to be. And then you just stop, and you just can't stop laughing.
I think that's the best part of the movie is the simulated violence. Mm-hmm. Because you're right. It does show you something as if it happened. And then it goes back and shows mm-hmm. you how he pretended that it happened. Mm-hmm. And they all have to go along with it because it's a simulation. And it's hilarious stuff because, you know, trying to piece together, you know, the crime. The people who are the victims have time to think about it while they're, you know, laying there supposedly dead and go, wait a minute. I think you shot me in the chest. Yes. I was wearing a vest. And then they all review the case.
That part cracked me up.
And the guys, you know, you can tell he's sort of hurt that the other hostages don't take his side.
Yeah. I remember watching this film and like all the cops and everybody's getting pissed off at him. I'm like, he's doing what he's supposed to
right.
do. If you've got this city has a serious robbery problem. If you really want to crack down on this, you got to take this seriously, not as a joke. I mean, he's doing his job. Do yours.
Yes, yes. But, you know, the fact that they pick the guy who cannot keep from going by the book, the rule follower, mm-hmm. Is funny. And they know
hilarious.
That they're doing it, but they think they can outsmart him.
Yeah. And it seems this film also has a little bit of satire on, you know, just sort of like bureaucracy and just police work. Because the whole joke of this movie is this city has a serious robbery problem. There's a lot of bank robberies going along. And instead of, you know, finding out who these people are, sitting on a team to investigate and crack them down before they commit any more robberies, they just stage this elaborate fake simulation just to show to the public and to the media that they're good at their jobs.
Yes, yes. And they're not. That's
no,
the other
awful.
Thing. They're awful.
And it reminds me a little bit of the director Bong Joon-ho. Have you seen Memories of Murder?
I have not.
Okay, it's a... the host.
Is this a horror movie?
It's kind of a horror. It's more of a comedy, like a monster movie. Have you seen The Host?
No. I know about The Host.
Okay. He did that. Another film called Mother, not the Jennifer Lawrence one, but what else? He came here and did Snowpiercer.
Now, The Mother, was that one, is that kind of a psychological story about a mom trying to cover up a crime for her son?
Yeah, South
yeah
Korean.
I've seen that. Yeah, that's really disturbing.
Very disturbing. He did that. And he also, his recent film was Okja, which is a Netflix movie that came out this year. And he's South Korean. But he kind of does these movies where, especially in South Korea, where he's always trying to take a little jab either at the South Korean government or at the police system. Like in Memories of Murder, like the two cops, and this is a true story about an actual serial killer in South Korea, but the one of the cops in there, they're kind of, you can tell that these guys have seen too many TV shows because they think all they do is this, you know, one guy just, it's a joke where any suspect they're interrogating, he just ends the interrogation by drop kicking him in the face. And they always, you know, they always do this and they're never catching the guy. And it's kind of like that here where it's a showing just how, you know, you don't have with the government being, the governor being corrupt, with, you know, the police force just being completely inept and, you know, stupid. It seems that this movie is also kind of doing that, where they're taking sort of a shot at sort of, you know, law enforcement and law and, you know, government and politics in South Korea.
They also insist on doing it with the media coverage, you know, because they want to be shown, you know, they want this staged activity mm-hmm. to be shown so that they can prove that they're doing their job. And of course, when all goes bad, of course, the media is there recording everything.
And like we said, like, it's so funny, which I get, what annoys me in this movie, when it's not in a bad way, but it's just like, it's just like, the man is doing what you want him to do. I mean, And even I like it, one of the lines he says, you know, you might regret this just because, you know, I'm pretty by the book, so I'm going to go at this 110%.
There were two moments I thought were really funny moments that were sort of unexpected. One is where the guy who's pretend shot, you know, he's the fake robber has taken everybody's cell phones and his rings, and he picks it up and it's the guy's mother, and he says, well, he's just been shot.
Yes.
And you see the woman from the back sitting on the tatami mat just sort of falling over. And he's like, you can't do that. My mom has a bad heart.
Yeah.
And then there was another scene where his mother, the robber's mother, is looking for his seal.
Yeah.
And then they finally have this moment where, you know, mom's talking to the criminal over the loudspeaker and finally gets their business out of the way. Is there anything else you want to see? Yes. Where is your seal? Funny stuff. I thought those moments were underplayed, too. They weren't real heavy-handed, which is why I think they work.
And another scene I really liked, which probably is a little bit politically incorrect, but the scene when the one woman's making the scene and then, you know, she's arguing with him and yelling. So he pushes her, and then he just starts doing push-ups, and they're like, what the heck is he doing? And then it says, and then, like, they always have the simulation, what happened to him? And it says, raped.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he pretends to hit her, too.
Yeah.
And it looks like he does, and then you see the angle that he's at.
Just, like, slapping his hand.
His own hand, yes. So you have the sound effect, you know, the idea, and it's effective. Yeah, it's very, very funny stuff. Especially because the signs that they put around their neck, you know, they're in Korean, but then under it will be the subtitle. It's very funny, a punch of humor every time you see those.
And then just even how it's, you know, they always try to find a loophole that can get them out of this exercise. You know, it's like, wait, how could you tie up all these people by yourself? And he's like, I think that's wrong. And he goes, no, actually, I had you tie them. But he can even show it, like, what he's, like, picturing in his head.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. And it's like that scene, and even the one scene when the commissioner is trying to, like, well, you know, you didn't do a good job. She, you know, that wasn't realistic when you had your mom because she didn't seem emotionally involved, and this, that, and the other thing, trying to, like, you didn't do your job, so we can stop this now. And he goes, no, actually, she's acting like this because this and that.
Right, because she's not really reacting to a criminal. She's reacting to a cop who's playing a criminal.
Yeah, and I wrote down on my list, this feels a lot like if this was going to be remade into an American film, I think the perfect director for this would be Edgar Wright. You know, Edgar Wright, he's done Shaun of the Dead, he's done Hot Fuzz, he's done The World's End, he's done Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and then one of the hit films this year, Baby Driver. And he kind of has that, you know, with comedy, he always has that timing, like in this movie, where it's just like it's either the editing or the pacing, it's just perfect punchline, he just delivers it at the right time. And I feel like if anybody was going to remake this film, he could have that with that kind of comedy. And make it even, not even like set in America, but I think set it in Britain somewhere and have Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, who he always has. I think this would be a great movie.
Or, you know, some sort of Fargo-esque sort of setting would be funny too. Some small town area where everybody knows everybody.
Yeah. So even in that case, you mean Fargo, you could even say the Coen brothers could do a great version
of this. The Coen brothers could do a great version of this, although they would probably want more violence.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a good choice because he is terrific with the timing in Baby Driver, which is the whole movie's about
that timing and rhythm. Yeah.
I will say one thing that I think is a little bit of a flaw in this movie, going by the book, is that I think it has a slow build. And when I show it in class, I tell my students, there's some setup in the beginning where you have to see that the guy that they're picking to do the simulation is a rule follower. So there's all that kind of setup. Also to sort of give you some idea that maybe there's some corruption, which is why he has been demoted in the first place. You have to sort of set all that up.
Yeah,
and all that part is kind of unattractive cinematography-wise because even when you're in the police station, it's so ugly. It's that, you know, fluorescent lighting. It looks like a set. You know, none of the desks look like they have any personal items. It looks like a set.
Yeah,
a cheap set.
Yeah, I will say that. Everything kind of looks like it's from something from like a TV comedy or a sitcom. Doesn't look realistic.
But then once you get to the bank robbery, then it really picks up speed and never lets go.
Yeah, that's definitely the strong part. And I will say, since we're getting into flaws, one of the things in the movie I felt was the flaw of this movie, two parts. One I'll talk about first is, what did you feel about the romance in the movie?
You know, I didn't see it coming, and I didn't think it was necessary.
Yeah, me too. I felt it was really forced, just like he's got to have a love interest, I guess. And it's just never brought up because we don't really spend any time where they can develop any kind of chemistry. It's just, I think maybe he's been to the bank once or twice before, so she kind of smiles at him, and that's it. Like, that's, you know, that's their sort of cutesy connection. So I felt that part was, you know, that was forced. They didn't even need to have it, like you said.
Yeah, or they could have added something that made it seem like he, you know, always went to that bank and, you know, always kind of liked her and didn't like the fact that he had to treat her like a hostage.
Yeah, something like that.
Something to give you an idea of it, that it was coming. Just to get to that scene with the adorable scene with the scarf.
Yeah. Or even I do even the scene at the end where it's like the final showdown at the pier. And then, you know, he goes, bang, and then she falls down. And then he goes, bang, and then he falls down dead.
Yeah, just to show them that, yeah, you might be able to get the people cornered at the end, but, you know, you end up losing because,
yeah,
you have no negotiating skills at all.
Yeah, because, like, the thing is, like, they say, oh, now we've won. Like, well, I mean, going by that simulation, you've had 8 people killed and a whole bunch of horrible things happen and lots of money waste. Like, that doesn't make you look good, even if you do get the guy at the end.
Yeah, exactly. What was your second thing?
The other thing I felt was the score. The score for the film, it kind of had that cutesy little comedy thing, and it got really distracting. Like, even at the one scene at the end, I think it was when they're getting on the bus and everything, it was, bop, 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 bop,
yeah.
Bop, bop. Like, okay, that's just a little bit too much. I think it would have been funny is... Like, even going back to Edgar Wright, Edgar Wright always kind of overplays the dramaticness where it's, you know, in, like, Hot Fuzz, and it's, you know, he's got this dramatic, like, you know, dun, 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 and he's just doing something like paperwork or something, just really mundane. I think that would be hilarious where it's just this really boring situation, like, even when he's, like, pulling over people for traffic violations, and they're making it look, you know, like, you know, like, really intense music, like he's a cop on the trail of a killer or something.
Yep, I think you're right about that. I do like the choreography of the umbrellas.
Yeah, that scene was great.
Really, really nicely done and clever. I mean, they did some. That's really what I like about the movie is that it's so clever. My, I think it has a slow start. I think it's all about bank robberies, but they never actually find out who's doing all these bank robberies.
Yeah, but I think that's what's so funny about it.
And then the other thing is that the whole business with the media, it's sort of like they bring them in there as a plot device, and then it kind of goes nowhere.
Yeah, I agree, because the whole thing is, like, even they even show time on this, the one reporter woman, and she's, like, getting a tape, and, you know, she's going through all this. You think... I mean, I guess it's sort of leading up to the big breaking of that the governor was in the corruption scandal, but that's more of that the guy found something in the bank.
Right.
Even that part I thought was confusing. Like, what was that exactly? It looks like it was some money, banknotes or something.
Yeah.
How does that lead up to the money that the governor stole. Okay. I didn't quite get that. Like, so how did that, I was wondering, how did that connect to the governor? Because I just thought it was a banknote.
Yeah, it was. I think that was not really well explained. Mm-hmm. I've seen it a couple of times, so I see it coming each time. And so now it seems obvious, but it's. I think it's definitely could have used a little more foreshadowing or explaining.
Yeah, and then I know it seems like we're going on about it. The flaws in this movie.
I know,
really,
but it's actually the reason I love this movie and the reason I started using this in class is in world cinema. You know, the textbook only covers, you know, a handful of countries. Obviously, you can't cover every single one. And you can't cover everything in 14 weeks anyway. And, you know, so you have to be aware of everything that's going on, like, everywhere. And so I get a lot of recommendations from students because, you know, they might be taking world cinema because they don't know the overview, but they know a lot about, you know, Indian movies, and they know a lot about Korean movies. So anytime I get a recommendation from a student, I always want to see if it's worth including in the class. And this was one I wouldn't have found any other way.
Yeah, and talk about just countries and movies. South Korea, I haven't seen a heck of a lot of South Korean films. I've looking about maybe like 20-ish or so. But every South Korean film I've seen, I've liked. And it's not even like it's kind of okay. Like I've pretty much, it's like this overwhelming, strong, positive reception. Definitely thumbs up.
I have used this for the final film in world cinema for several semesters because, first of all, we know that Korea is not mentioned in the textbook. Mm-hmm. And also, it's a movie I feel like people haven't seen already.
A lot of
things are sort of, you know, pretty established genres and you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. But this is, I don't think I've ever seen this plot before, and I think it's really original.
Oh, definitely original. I kept thinking about this, like, I said, yeah, it seems like, you know, something the Coen brothers or Edgar Wright might do, but they've never done a movie kind of quite like this. And I'm trying to think, you know, this movie where it's like the simulation. And I just couldn't think of any movie that's done this. And that's what I really enjoy about it. Like, it's nothing that's ever been done before.
Yeah. And that's hard to find. It's hard to find something really original.
Especially in Hollywood.
But I totally agree with you about South Korean film, because they really have some interesting stuff coming out of there. I mean, of course, there's Chan-wook Park with the Vengeance series.
Yeah, and even we talk like this movie, like when people say South Korean cinema, like you do think about Old Boy or the Vengeance trilogy or the films I talked about with Bong Joon-ho. And it's interesting, like this film is definitely, I think, not, you don't really see this a lot when you're talking about South Korean cinema as far as to foreigners.
Now, a movie that you probably would like because it's got a horror element to it is Memento Mori, which is set in a South Korean high school, and it's about a diary and
Memento,
a haunting, and it's an interesting.
Not like Memento, is it?
No, it's nothing like Memento, but it's interesting in its own way. Yeah. And another really good movie is Castaway on the Moon, which has the same actor, Jung Jae-young, and he plays a guy who has decided to end it all and commit suicide by jumping off a bridge. And he washes up on this little island where he can see where he was, but he can't get there because he can't swim. And he has to try to survive. And so he ends up in a relationship with a woman who's on the mainland who has you know, she's got some binoculars and she happens to see, you know, what he's doing. So she sends him messages and bottles and he writes on the sand and responds. It's a really interesting movie. Just a lot of philosophical ideas. You know, the world you can almost see, but you can't quite get to. It's you know, a parable in a lot of ways, but really well done. And with the same actor in a completely different role, a very emotional role.
Yeah. And like with South Korea, I remember when you first recommended this movie, and you're like, okay, it's a film. It's from South Korea. And I was like, sold.
Oh, done.
I'm done. I'm good. I'm in.
I think South Korea is also sort of experiencing a popularity boom. Everything Korean is very popular now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a bit of random, but if you ever happen to have Fios, one of the channels I run into every now and then is called Mnet or something. And it's basically like MTV for South Korea. And it's nonstop K-pop music, which it's probably like our version of boy bands.
Okay.
Boy bands and girl bands. And they just, like, all these festivals and stuff, and they go across America. I mean, it is huge, like, over there, K-pop.
The same student had told me about this movie, of course, is studying Korean and very into it. And she told me about a website you can go to where you can see all the soap operas.
Yeah, soap operas are big there,
too. Soap operas are big there, too. There's also, there was, you know, this is not a... It's a different kind of movie. But there's a movie from Korea called Poetry, which is really quite beautiful, about a woman who takes poetry class, but she's, you know, working through her own emotional situations. It's very deep, very worth watching.
Yeah. I guess the South Korean movies I've always enjoyed watching are the ones that are, like, deep in the genre stuff. So, like, Old Boy, I'll just run off a list. If you think Old Boy or... what was the other film you talked about that's very disturbing? Mother. You think those are disturbing? Have you seen I Saw the Devil?
No.
It's a serial killer movie, but it is pretty hard to watch. It's extremely violent and it's just dark. Ugh, you need to like take a shower after watching that movie. That's one that's really good. There's a horror film, probably won't like it, but called The Wailing. Train to Busan, which is a zombie movie, so probably not your thing.
Hey, I did make it through Thirst because, you know, I do like Chan-wook Park. And, you know, a lot of people find him just a little bit too violent. But I think Old Boy is one of the most brilliant movies ever made.
Yeah, it's a great movie. But even that part, when you find out what the characters' relationships are to each other, you're like, oh my God.
But it does open so many doors to discuss philosophical things about right and wrong. Is it wrong if you don't know it's wrong? Or is it always wrong? It's a great philosophical question. The remake was awful, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you told me it was Spike Lee. Yeah.
Which I expected better from him.
Yeah, and it seems like with the movies, like what I like about South Korea is like they, like what the movies talk about, that can be violent, that can be this, it can go for some very dark themes. I think they go, it seems that the studios in South Korea let the filmmakers just do whatever they want, and they don't go, well, we might want to cut this back to get a larger audience. They just, you know, have at it. That's what I think it's probably one of my favorite film countries, is because in here we always like, well, we probably can't do that. With South Korea, they're like, nah, go at it. You're good.
They are comfortable with some really dark topics like despair and suicide. and and how that makes people act, rather than, you know, finishing it all with a nice tidy bow, just to kind of explore some dark subjects.
Yeah, none of their films are, I mean, most of the, a lot of the films I've seen really don't have a happy ending from the South Korean movies. Anyway, getting back a bit to going by the book, one of the things that also confused me a bit is when they talk about, they give him the backstory, like, well, you know, he was a cop on the force, and then he tried to go after this corrupt governor. He didn't quite have the evidence or something, so they busted him down into a traffic cop. And they said, and it was around that time when the robberies started. And it got me to a second to think he was orchestrating the robberies.
Okay.
And then, like, the scene that also confused me is when he's on the phone with the commissioner, and he's like, "Stop acting like a robber." I forget what the exact dialogue was. And he stops for a second. It almost seems like he has this realization. And I thought, like, from there it was going to be revealed that he was the guy behind all these robberies, and this is why he's so good at setting up the situations and predicting what's going to happen and simulating everything.
You know, actually, now that you mentioned that, I didn't put that together until you said that, but I think one of the things that would have tied that original story about the corruption in better was for him to have been putting it together the whole time. You know, he doesn't seem necessarily really bright, but he does seem like he's methodical. So I guess, you know, in the beginning they sort of intimate that there's this corruption and the governor stole this money, and then at the end there's the money.
Yeah.
But there's no steps in between where you see him as a detective putting the pieces together, so you get it kind of when he does.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even until they actually bring that part up that you even knew that he was this, you know, detective. We just assumed that he's this traffic cop trying to go up in the scales because he's just a traffic cop and he likes going, figures if I go by the book and get a lot of pull a lot of people over, I can move up. That's what I thought, and then that part just kind of threw me off a bit.
Yeah, but they sort of develop his character by making him seem very detailed, you know, like constantly giving his friend a hard time about his hat. Mm-hmm. Not being on, you know, correctly.
And even the opening scene, which is great, when it's the commissioner, he figures out it's the commissioner, and the commissioner's like, okay, he's giving me the salute and everything, he's going to let this by. And just as he was about to go, he's like, sir, I still need your driver's license.
Yeah. But, you know, you don't know, though, because they don't really tell you that much about his character, if he thinks, well, this could be another trap. You know, I got busted down to traffic because they didn't like the way I was doing something. So, you know, if they actually see me not give somebody a ticket who was supposed to get one, you know, I mean, you don't know if it's a setup.
Yeah, you never quite know. And you also think that maybe the reason why he's being so, I mean, it's sort of set up that he likes to go by the book, but you think one of the elements why he's gonna really going by the book and really getting dedicated to this role as the robber in this simulation is that it's a way he can sort of get back at the police force for demoting him. It's like, if I can, he knows that they're not going to take this job seriously. I'm going to take this 100% seriously. So by doing this, I'm going to make them look like a bunch of buffoons who are incompetent.
Now, did you think that the commissioner, whoever it is that shows up, that he gives the ticket to, whatever, do you think he wanted Doe Man to be the robber because he wanted to make him look like a fool? Or because he really wanted to make sure they had somebody who would give the exercise a run for its money?
That's a good question, because you could see either way, because, you know, he embarrassed him. But remember when he's first getting run through the police department, and he's like, "Where is everybody?" And they go, "Well, we got this ceremony set up for you for your introduction here." And he goes, "Oh, well, can we just pretend that it happened and get back to work?" So it seems that he also kind of likes just, we'll just do police work. We don't have any goofy stuff going on. Maybe that's why it's like, this guy is also by the books, so we'll get that going.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because like you said, I think you could take it either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even like when he's talking to him on the phone during the thing, he's getting completely annoyed and frustrated with him, so we're like, is he doing that because he wanted to make it look easy, or is it because we shouldn't be having this problem? We should be doing a much better job.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to bring up about the director, Hee-Shan Ra? I'm looking at his IMDb. There's only one other film he's done. It's called Mr. Idol. And just looking up the brief IMDb synopsis, it's centered around like a K-pop star.
You know, because I liked this movie so much, I would watch another movie by this director, mm-hmm. but I haven't seen that. Have you seen that?
No, and it says it's not under comedy, so it's just a drama. It's like a drama about a K-pop star. Maybe it's kind of like one of those, like a...
Sounds like a soap opera.
Yeah, or like Mariah Carey's Glitter or something, so maybe not be my thing, but...
But if it was a comedy, I would definitely...
Mm-hmm. Any other South Korean films you want to recommend that we haven't talked about? We talked about a whole lot, but any others that come across your mind?
Yeah, I guess the top two I would recommend would be Castaway with the same actor and Poetry. Because, again, that's something a little bit different. And it's not what you expect. You think, I've seen the movie where the older woman goes and takes some continuing education thing and finds, you know, their secret passion or, you know, they never knew that they had such deep whatever. But this isn't. It sounds like that kind of movie. That's the setup, but it's really not about that at all. It's really very, very deep and very poetic, actually, given the title. What about you? What would be your top two picks that you would say, if you liked going by the book, you would like or you should see?
From South Korea?
Mm-hmm.
I would say Bong Joon-ho's Memories of Murder. It's a more serious film, but it does have some comedic elements. And it also just kind of shows the police force as completely inept at doing their jobs, if you like that. And then another one I'd recommend, because I like Westerns, they did one called The Good, the Bad, and the Weird.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It is hilarious. It's amazing action sequences. There's this train robbery sequence at the beginning, and it's just bonkers insane. I highly recommend that one.
That sounds like a good one.
And, one more is also pretty good. It's called The Man from Nowhere. It's basically South Korean The Professional, kind of this badass ex-secret service agent or something. He's kind of just, you know, secluded in this little apartment. He's befriending this young girl whose mom is like a drug dealer, a drug addict or something. She gets kidnapped, and he's got to come out of the force to catch her. It's a good one. If you like The Professional, I recommend that.
I was just going to say, it sounds just like The Professional.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so getting close to the end of my questions here. Is there anything else that you want to bring up?
Only that I use this to close out world cinema. And not only do I think it's, you know, it gives people an idea that, you know what, there's exciting stuff going on out there beyond what we're able to show in the classroom. So check it all out. Mm-hmm. And also it's a good way to end the semester.
Definitely. Even just extending beyond South Korea and just focusing on the Asian continent. Japan has just had they've had a longer film history than I think that South Korea, and their films have always, I've just like I said, there hasn't been a Japanese film that I haven't liked because I just, either it's anime or, you know, Kurosawa or kind of the samurai Yakuza films from the 60s and 70s, just all highly recommend. And even in Hong Kong movies like John Woo stuff from the 80s, you know, Jackie Chan, Bruce Lee, even the modern stuff.
The Infernal Affairs trilogy.
Yeah, that just love that stuff. And even Indonesia, and even going into Indonesia with the Raid movies. Have you seen those? They came out in 2011 and 2014. Probably the best action movies ever made. It's extremely violent, but the best this is how you should make action movies.
Wow, that's quite a plug.
Yeah. All right. So then last question, have you been talking about it already, but just tell us a little bit more about your classes.
Well, in the spring, I will be teaching Intro to Film, American Cinema, and World Cinema, where I may be using Going by the Book.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Armchair Directors. We have been talking about director Hee Chan-ra and his 2007 film, Going by the Book. Don't forget you can listen to the Armchair Directors every Thursday at 9:30 a.m., Sunday at 2:30 p.m., or anytime at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com under the category Armchair Directors. Professor Westhaver, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
For the Armchair Directors, I'm your host, Alex Baker, saying, you might regret this.